Chapter 18. 100 Truths. Resurrection. Return.
I heard your brother,
Argyltal confessed. The Primarch was no longer writing. For several minutes, Lorgar had done nothing but listen in mounting emotion as the captain relayed the events in Ingerfell's vision. Now, at these words, he released a breath he'd been holding for some time.
Magnus.
Argyltal had never heard his sire speak so softly.
No, the War Master.
The golden-skinned giant brushed his hands over his face, seemingly afflicted by a sudden weariness.
I do not know that title, he said. War Master. An ugly word.
Argyltal chuckled in two voices.
Of course. Forgive us, Lorgar. He will not be named that for some time. He is still merely Horus. When the vision ended in golden light, we could see nothing beyond the flare. But we heard your brother, Horus. The machinery was breaking down, rattling and crashing. There was gunfire, the rush of the most powerful wind we've ever felt. And we heard Horus's voice, shouting, defiant, enraged. It was as if he were there with us, seeing what we saw.
Stop saying we. You are Argyltal.
We are Argyltal, yes. In 43 years, Horus will speak four words that will save humanity or lead to its extinction. We know what those words are, Lorgar. Do you?
Lorgar cradled his head in his hands, fine fingers pressed to the elegant runes inked onto his skin.
This is too much. Too much to bear. I need Erebus here. I need my Corfearon. They are far from here, and we will tell you something more. Neither Erebus nor Corfearon would struggle to accept the truths that we speak. Corfearon has always kept his belief in the old ways hidden behind lying smiles, and Erebus drools in the presence of power. Neither of those twisted warlocks would hold their heads in their hands and panic about how the Imperial will...
Argyltal's voices fell silent, quenched by the golden hand around his emaciated throat. Lorgar rose to his feet in a smooth and effortless motion, dragging the Astartes up with him, the captain's feet lifting from the deck.
You will watch your tongue when you speak the names of my mentors, and you will speak with respect when you address the lord of your own legion. Is that understood, beast?
Argyltal didn't answer. His hands clawed at the Primarch's forearm in desperate futility. Lorgar hurled the skeletal figure against the wall. The captain crashed against the metal and tumbled to the floor.
Wipe that filthy grin from your lips,
Lorgar demanded. When the Astartes lifted his face to regard the Primarch, it was Argyltal who looked out through his own eyes once more.
Control yourself, captain, Lorgar warned. Now, finish your tale. I saw things.
Argyltal tried to rise on trembling limbs.
When the gold faded, there was more to see. Visions. I can't explain it any other way, sire.
Sensing his son's return to the fore, Lorgar helped Argyltal to a seating position.
Speak, he said.
One by one, the pods came down. Alone now, Argyltal stood on the surface of each world and watched them strike home. Not all of them, and that itself was a source of mystery. Was there some significance in the planet falls he was entitled to witness? Why these and not others? The first was a blazing meteorite ploughing into the soft soil of a temperate world. The pod didn't punch deep. It carved a furrow in the ground and skidded to a halt in the midst of an evergreen forest, so dense that the overhanging trees refused the moonlight above. The child that emerged from the broken pod was pale of skin and fierce of eye. His hair was as black as the armor of the warriors he would grow to lead.
Twilight fell without warning,
withering the trees to dust, their ashes scattering in the sudden wind. In place of the lush forest was bleak tundra, reaching from horizon to horizon, populated by black rock and stunted, colourless flora. The pod rained down a flame from the grey sky, crashing against the jagged slopes of a cliffside and causing an avalanche of tumbling rocks in its wake. When the dust finally cleared, Argeltal saw a slender child rise from the wreckage of metal and stone, brushing his dusty hands through hair the white of flawless marble. The boy looked to his surroundings while... Argeltal was alone on a mountaintop, snow clinging to his armour as it fell. On a distant peak, a fortress stood silhouetted against a clean sky, its exquisite stone battlements and towers lit by the sun shining down through a break in the clouds. The word-bearer stared upward, feeling the light snowfall cool his fevered skin as he watched the pod fall from the heavens. When it struck the earth, it hit with enough force to drive itself into the side of the mountain, shaking the ground with the anger of an artillery barrage. Argeltal waited, watching the wound in the mountainside. At last, a child emerged, climbing over the rocks with ease, his skin bronze in the high sun. For a moment, it seemed the child saw him, but... No world should ever be this dark. Argeltar's eyes took a few seconds to pierce the deep night, and what met his gaze was no better than the preceding darkness. A lightless sky was dominated by an imposing moon that eclipsed the starlight rather than reflect the sun. A sprawling city on the horizon was barely lit, as though the eyes of its denizens would rebel against any true illumination. Fire heralded the pod's arrival, brightening the air over the wasteland with blazing light as it tore groundward. The impact was a spear thrust into the metallic-smelling soil, driving the incubator deep into the ground with enough force to split the land with tectonic cracks. The word-bearer maintained his balance, breathing in air that tasted of iron, and waiting for signs of movement from the chasm freshly carved into the fertile earth. The boy that rose under the night sky was corpse-pale and unique among the progenitors Argeltal had seen so far, for he carried a shard of his gestation pod, clutched tight in his fist. A knife, crude and instinctive, made from the twisted metal of his pod. Thunder announced itself overhead. The boy raised his face to the sky, a sudden trident of lightning illuminating the child's gaunt, unhealthy features. Argeltal stood atop another cliff edge, this one overlooking a valley that split a brutal mountain range. The pod hammered down, a blur of grey metal, smashing against the rock walls without piercing the stone. Argeltal watched as the pod span end over end, wrecking itself in its devastating fall down the mountainside. Dark metal ripped from its armoured hull, shed like peeling scabs. It came to rest upside down at the bottom of the valley, and Argeltal's visor zoomed in to compensate for the distance. He saw the pod shake once, twice, then roll aside, pushed away by the infant it had contained. Free of his burden, the boy touched trembling hands to a face awash with blood. The scream of pain that rose from the valley had no place, leaving the lips of a child so young. When everything changed again, Argeltal watched the dusk through a haze of mist. The fog was thin, a sickly celadon jade that spoke of both chill air and toxicity. What little daylight pierced the mist was born of a pinprick sun, meagre in both size and generosity, setting below a flat horizon. Plainsland stretched in every direction, as uninspiring and barren as any number of ignorable, lifeless worlds Argeltal had passed as part of the Great Crusade's expeditionary fleets. The falling pod trailed smoke and flame, burning with green fire as it ignited the virulence in the mist. Its final descent brought it hammering against the rocky ground, cracking open as it skidded over the shale. The word-bearer moved closer to the downed capsule, seeing tendrils of fog creeping through the rent metal, misting up the interior behind the clear viewplate. Something pale moved within, but... he was standing in the white stone and shining crystal heart of a city, surrounded by spires, pyramids, obelisks, and towering statuary. The pod fell from the summer sky at a meteor's angle, shearing through a slender tower with a crash of breaking glass that could be heard across the city. A moment later, the incubator cracked the mosaic ground, sliding and burning across the white stone until it ended its fiery journey against the base of a great pyramid. Crowds of tanned, handsome figures gathered in the afternoon sunlight, watching as the metal coffin's rivets and bolts unscrewed and removed themselves, detached by unseen hands. Plate by plate, the pod's armor plating lifted away, floating in the air above the crash site. At last, the final structural pieces drifted apart, while at the heart of the hovering display was a red-haired child, his eyes closed, his skin a burnished coppery red. The boy's feet didn't touch the ground. He floated a meter above the burned mosaics and at last opened his eyes. Argel Tal walked the surface of a wasted world. The air held the taint of exhaust fumes, and the lifeless landscape was a grey twin to Luna, Terra's only moon. The pod fell from a night sky filled with stars, each of the constellations pregnant with a promise of deeper meaning. The ground rumbled in protest as the pod struck, and the word-bearer climbed the small rise of a crater's lip to see the incubator gouging a furrow through the silvery soil. The pod's door blasted open even as it was coming to rest, clanging loudly in the silent night. The boy that rose from the confines was inhumanly handsome, his fine features pale and contemplative, his grey eyes matching the earth of the world he'd landed upon. There was no chance to move closer. He was home, not the sterile decks of the expeditionary fleet, nor even the Spartan sanctuary of his meditation chamber aboard De Profundis. No, he was home. The sky was a cloudless expanse of blue above the dusty desert, while a city of grey flowers and fire-hardened red bricks sat by the side of a wide river. Argel Tal regarded the holy city from his position downriver. Such was his pleasure at this curious homecoming that he forgot to look up until the last moment. The pod, his father's black iron womb, hit the rushing river with a great splash, throwing spray and a fine wet mist into the air. Argel Tal was already sprinting, his armor joints whirring as he ran over the arid soil. He didn't care if this was a vision or if he was really here. He had to reach his father's pod. Astarte's battle armor wasn't made for this. With its immense weight, his boots sank into the sticking river mud, generating grinding protests from the inbuilt mercury-threaded stabilizers in his shins and knee joints. The word-bearer hauled himself through the waist-deep mud, clambering lower down the riverbank to reach the downed capsule. As he neared the incubator, one thing was obvious above all else. Lorgar's pod had suffered a great deal more damage than any other. He reached out, the ceramite armoring his fingers, just managing to scrape the pod's side, and an image flashed before his eyes, superimposing itself over reality. The pod rattled, spinning through the void, tumbling alone through the warp's tides. Burn marks and cracks appeared as the lurching journey continued, while mist the colour of madness seeped in through the armour cracks. The child within slept on as pain marred its features, now restless in its repose. "See how the gods of this galaxy treasured your Primarch above the others, keeping him in the Sea of Souls for decades, preparing him for the role he would play in the ascension of mankind to divinity. Lorgar felt their blessed touch more than any of his brothers." Argel Tal stumbled, staggering, to a halt. The pod before him was a clone to his father's, but growing faint and indistinct before his eyes. The ground was dark, the night sky was starless, and for a moment Argel Tal wasn't sure whether he stood on the surface of a world or the deck of a powered-down ship. As his senses faded, he caught a momentary glimpse through the viewplate on the pod's bulky front. Whatever moved within the incubator had too many limbs to be a lone human child. Argyltal stepped closer, only to have his attention stolen by a blur of scarlet in the glass reflection. It was his helm, his chest plate, but warped by ivory protrusions, a twisted Gothic bioarchitecture formed from ceramite and bone. The face that looked back was a tusked rendition of his war helm, painted crimson and black, but for the golden star around his right eye lens. He opened his eyes. The observation deck on board the Orpheo's Lament. The sky beyond the dome was full of thrashing chaos. The demon remained exactly where it had been, its muscled form never completely still, forever swaying side to side, its claws flicker twitching in the air. Zaphen, Torgal, Malnor, Dagotal, all were exactly as they had been before. The outrider sergeant checked his retinal cron. 3 seconds had passed. 4, 5. They'd been gone no time at all. "Was any of that real?" he asked. Ingerfell the Ascended gestured with two of its spindly arms, the talons pointing to the ground behind the word-bearers. There, on the decking, were the swords of red iron, broken beyond repair, the shards darkened by scorch markings from the detonation that ruined them.
"That looks real to me," Zaphen chuckled.
"You have seen much and learned more. One matter remains."
The demon slithered around the Astartes, circling them with slow relish. Something akin to amusement glinted in its ugly eyes as it watched Argyltal.
"What remains?"
"A leap of faith."
Zaphen's eyes met Argyltal's.
"We've come this far. We stand united."
The captain nodded.
"A choice must be made. You have witnessed the truth of the gods. You have seen the Emperor's own lies laid bare. And you know the slow extinction that awaits humanity if the species remains blind to the primordial truth. So choose."
"Choose what?"
Argyltal narrowed his eyes. Unwilling to tolerate the creature's stench any longer, he put on his helm, breathing easier as the collar seals hissed and locked.
"To lower this vessel's Geller field."
Ingerfell stroked a claw down the dome's side. On the other side of the dense glass, screaming faces and frantic talons pressed against the demon's hand.
"Lower the Geller field. Become the architects of humanity's destiny. And the weapons Lorgar needs to wield against the Empire of Lies."
The word-bearers didn't all react alike. Zaphen closed his eyes with a knowing smile, as if this confirmed something he'd been waiting to hear. Torgal rested his hands on his holstered pistol and sheathed blade, while Malnor placed his grey gauntlet on the stocks of the two bolt pistols maglocked to his thighs. Dagotal stepped back from the group, his body language betraying his unease, even though his eye lenses gave no emotion away. Argyltal didn't reach for a weapon. Instead, he laughed.
"You are insane, creature."
"This is the respect you show to a messenger of the gods."
"What did you expect? That the word-bearers would kneel and accept everything you said as a divine mandate? We are done with kneeling, Ingerfell."
The demon's maw quivered as it offered a rattish hiss.
"Lower the Geller field, and you will taste the last promise of proof."
"We must heed the messenger's words," said the chaplain. "Enough, Zaphen. Aurelian demanded this of us. We were ordered to follow the guide, no matter where he led us. How can you balk at the final moment of truth? Enough. We are not risking the ship in this storm. We already lost the Shield of Scarus. 100 brothers lost in this sector of space, and you smile when it comes to losing 100 more."
"They were not chosen, Argyltal. You are." It was their time to meet destruction. They lacked the strength of will to endure what you are being offered.
The captain rounded on the demon.
What will happen if we lower the field? Will we be at the mercy of the storm, pulled apart like every other Imperial vessel that lost Gela stability during warp flight?
No. Lower the anathemic skin, and my kin will come to join us to share the final revelation with the gods' chosen warriors.
Demons on the ship?
Argyltal watched the faces of screaming souls thrashing against the dome.
This cannot be our choice. These cannot be the gods of the galaxy.
Zaphon softened his voice. To Argyltal's ears, he never sounded more like Erebus, his former mentor.
Brother, we were never given the promise that the truth would be easy to bear. The way we were chosen and our father favored, by true divine power.
Argyltal turned to stare at Zaphon through a targeting reticule.
You seem very certain about this course of action, brother. Are you not honored to be chosen like this? I wish to be one of the first to receive the blessing of the gods. It is a leap of faith, as Ingathel said. Silamor will not lower the Gela field, even if we order it. It would be suicide.
There will be no fruitless death. This is your moment of ascension, word-bearers. Let fate take its course. Think of your Primarch kneeling in the dust before Gilliman and the God Emperor. This moment will be the beginning of his vindication. The Emperor's lies will damn your species. The primordial truth will set it free.
We can carry this law back to the Imperium, but humanity will never surrender itself to this chaos.
Humanity has no choice. It will die under the claws of aliens, and those few that survive will be swallowed by the spreading influence of the warp gods. They only grow stronger, Argyltal. If one refuses to worship them, then that species has no place in this galaxy.
The word-bearer didn't speak the words that lay on his tongue. Nevertheless, the demon sensed them.
What will you do, human? Fight us? Wage war against the gods themselves? How lovely to imagine the little empire of mortal man laying siege to heaven and hell. Just like the Eldar, you will see the primordial truth, or you will be destroyed by it.
One last question, he said.
Ask.
You name the Emperor as the Anathema. Why?
Because of the future. The Emperor will damn your species, denying humanity its birthright as the chosen children of the gods. He wages war against divinity, shrouding your species in ignorance. That will damn you all. The Emperor is not only loathed for his treacheries against the gods, he is anathemic to all human life. Lorgar knows this. It is why he sent you into the Eye. Your enlightenment is the first step in the human race's ascendancy.
Argyltal looked into the demon's eyes for a long, long moment. In the mismatched depths, he once more saw Lorgar abase himself in the dust. He felt the deceitful Emperor's psychic gale throwing him from his feet, casting him to the dirt before the Ultramarines. He felt the serenity of standing in the City of Grey Flowers, knowing beyond doubt that his cause was holy, that his crusade was just. How long had it been since he'd felt such purity of purpose?
Quan Shield Squad, Argyltal spoke into the Vox. Make your way to Gela Generation on Deck 3. Squad Velash, move to support Quan Shield.
Affirmations crackled back.
Orders, sir? Asked Sergeant Quan Shiel. We have all heard as you heard.
The captain swallowed.
Destroy the Gela field generator. That's an order. All word bearers, stand ready.
91 seconds later, the ship gave the slightest rumble beneath their feet. 94 seconds later, it pitched to starboard, wrenched from orbit by the storm's rage, drowning in the thrashing tides. 97 seconds later, light died on every deck, bathing the crew and their Astartes protectors in the red gloom of emergency sirens. 99 seconds later, every Vox channel erupted in screaming. Ingerfell uncoiled itself and launched forward, reaching for Malnor first. Zaphen lay dead at the creature's feet, his spine twisted, his armor broken, a death that showed no peace in rest. A meter from his outstretched fingers, his black steel Crozius rested on the deck, silent in deactivation. The corpse was called by its helm, its final face hidden, but the chaplain's scream still echoed across the Vox network. The sound had been wet, strained, half-drowned by the blood filling Zaphon's ruptured lungs. The creature turned its head with a predator's grace, stinking saliva trailing in gooey stalactites between too many teeth. No artificial light remained on the observation deck, but starlight, the winking of distant suns, bred silver glints in the creature's unmatching eyes. One was amber, swollen, lidless. The other, black, an obsidian pebble, sunken deep into its hollow. "Now you," it said without moving its maw. Those jaws could never form human speech. "You are next." Argeltal's first attempt to speak left his lips as a trickle of too hot blood. It stung his chin as it ran down his face. The chemical-rich reek of the liquid, of Lorgar's gene-written blood running through the veins of each of his sons, was enough to overpower the stench rising from the creature's quivering, muscular grey flesh. For that one moment, he smelled his own death, rather than the creature's corruption. It was a singular reprieve. The captain raised his bolter in a grip that trembled, but not from fear. This defiance, this was the refusal he couldn't voice any other way.
"Yes."
The creature loomed closer. Its lower body was an abomination splicing between serpent and worm, thick-veined, and leaving a viscous clear slug trail that stank of unearthed graves.
"Yes."
"No!" Argeltal finally forced the words through clenched teeth. "Not like this!"
"Like this. Like your brothers. This is how it must be."
The bolter barked with a throaty chatter, a stream of shells that hammered into the wall, impacting with concussive detonations that defiled the chamber's quiet. Each buck of the gun in his shaking hand sent the next shell wider from the mark. Arm muscles burning, he let the weapon fall with a dull clang. The creature did not laugh, did not mock him for his failure. Instead, it reached for him with four arms, lifting him gently. Black talons scraped against the grey ceramite of his armour as it clutched him aloft.
"Prepare yourself. This will not be painless."
Argeltal hung limp in the creature's grip. For a brief second, he reached for the swords of red iron at his hips, forgetting that they were broken, the blades shattered on the gantry decking below.
"I can hear."
His gritted teeth almost strangled the words. "Another voice."
"Yes, one of my kin. It comes for you."
"This is not what my Primarch wanted."
"This?"
The creature dragged the helpless Astartes closer and burst Argeltal's secondary heart with a flex of thought. The captain went into violent convulsions, feeling the pulped mass behind his ribs like a bunch of crushed grapes. But the demon cradled him with sickening gentleness.
"This is exactly what Lorgar wanted. This is the truth."
Argeltal strained for breath that wouldn't come, and forced dying muscles to reach for weapons that weren't there. The last thing he felt before he died was something pouring into his thoughts, wet and cold, like oil spilling behind his eyes. The last thing he heard was one of his dead brothers drawing a ragged breath over the Vox channel. And the last thing he saw was Zaphon, twitching, rising from the deck on struggling limbs. Lorgar lowered the quill once more. An unknowable emotion burned in his eyes. Whatever it was, Argyll-Tarl had never seen it before. "And so we come full circle," said the Primarch. "You died and resurrected. You found the crew slain. You sailed out from the Eye, taking 7 months to do so."
"You desired answers, sire. We brought them to you."
"I could not be prouder of you, Argyll-Tarl. You have saved humanity from ignorance and extinction. You have proved the Emperor wrong." The captain watched his father closely.
"How much of this did you already know, sire?"
"Why do you ask?"
"You lingered for 3 nights in the Cadian caves with Ingathel. How much of this tale had the creature already told you, before you sent us into the Eye?"
Lorgar released a breath, not quite a laugh, not quite a sigh.
"I did not know what would happen to you, my son. Please, believe me."
Argyll-Tarl nodded. That was good enough. He started to answer, but the affirmation caught in his throat. Was this the genetic loyalty all Astartes felt for their Primarchs, only magnified in the 17th Legion? Would he ever be able to see deceit in his father's eyes, even if the Urizen lied right to his face? Entire worlds had fallen to Lorgar's oratory without a single shot being fired in anger. In his son's eyes, he personified the persuasive, soulful charm so resplendent in the Emperor, always seeming above anything as base and crude as deception. And yet, Ingefell's words cast the shadow of doubt.
"I believe you, father," he said, hoping the words were true rather than knowing they were. "We must cover our tracks," Lorgar shook his head slowly. "The Cadians' lives are evidence that the Emperor must never see. With his watchdogs among us, my father will know we witnessed the Cadian rituals and that we ventured into the Eye. We must remain pure in the Emperor's eyes. The storm revealed nothing. The Cadians? Well, they were destroyed for their deviance." Argyll-Tarl swallowed acid. "You will destroy the tribes."
"We must cover our tracks," Lorgar sighed. "Genocide has never given me pleasure, my son. Tales of unrest will be spread among the fleet, and we will use tectonic weapons on the landing site to destroy the tribes that occupy the wastelands." Argyll-Tarl said nothing. There was nothing he could say.
"You are reborn,"
Lorgar pressed his palms together. "The gods have reshaped you, granted you this great blessing." That's one way of seeing this, Argyll-Tarl thought.
"I am possessed," he replied.
The words did no justice to the sense of violation, yet any other explanation would be too crude a fit.
"We were possessed, as evidence to you that Ingathel's words of the gods were truth."
"I need no more convincing. Everything at last has fallen into place. I know my role in the galaxy after 2 centuries of struggling to find the right path.
And we will come to see your union as something avataric, something that exalts you in the eyes of the gods, not a sacrifice. You were chosen, Argyll-Tarl, just as I was."
And yet he did not sound as certain as his words insisted. Doubt shadowed his tone. Argyll-Tarl seemed lost in thought, watching the skeletal play of his opening and closing hand.
"Ingathel warned us all. This is merely the beginning. We will change as the possession takes hold, but not until the ordained time. These gods will cry out from their haven here in the storm, and when we hear them call to us, we will begin our evolution."
"What form will these changes take?" Lorgar was writing once more, recording every word in his rapid, elegant script. He never went back to amend mistakes in his handwriting, for there were never any errors to amend.
The demon said nothing of that, Argyltal confessed. It said only that this age was coming to an end before another century is passed. When it does, the galaxy will burn and the gods will scream. Until then, we carry a second soul, letting it ripen inside us.
Lorgar said nothing for some time. At last he laid the quill aside and smiled at his son, a reassuring, welcoming smile.
You must learn to hide this from the custodes. You must hide this from everyone outside the Legion until you hear the gods call.